All right. Let's take our Bibles tonight. I love that song. I love the message in that song. I love the sermons that he preaches through music. And I'll tell you what, it's message after message after message. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight, if you have your Bible. And I've loved that song since the first time I heard the chapel sing it. And it had just a great message in it. And the Lord knows all about us anyway. Amen. And no sense in trying to hide anything. He knows our hearts. He knows every compartment in the heart. He knows our lives and all about us. And so there's nothing that you can hide from the Lord. He knows it all. And so praise the Lord for that. I'll tell you what, the music is just a blessing to me. And I love every bit of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. You know, I'm not sure why, you know, in messages, when preachers preach messages, why they always put titles on them, I guess so you can remember what the message is or what it's about, but I always kind of study the message and then try to figure out what would be a good title for this message. So we're going to take a message here from 1 Corinthians tonight and chapter 12. If I had to title this message tonight, I would just simply title it Unified, Diversified, and Interdependent. Three words. And unified, diversified, and interdependent, Paul addresses this topic here in the Scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 12. Talking about the church, talking about the church at Corinth, and talking about the churches. I think every church since Corinth can relate to this. And it's a great message for the local New Testament church and one that we can all use and that we can apply. It says in verse 12, "For as the body," talking about the church body now, is one, "and it hath many members, and all the members have that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit," into one Holy Spirit. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" Question mark. "If the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Having all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Interesting, as Paul gives this message here to the church at Corinth, I think there's much in here that we can still apply and use today within our own body, within our own members, within our own churches, within the own assembly. You got to keep in mind now, I recently addressed some of this in the Sunday School Hour, or Wednesday night, I believe, maybe, and that is that on the gifts, there are some gifts that are permanent gifts, and there are some gifts that are temporary gifts. And the gifts of miracle, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues were all temporary gifts given in the first century for the use in the local New Testament church. Those gifts are no longer in operation today, the gift of tongues, the gift of healing. You say, well, doesn't God heal? Yes, he does. He heals, but he doesn't have healing like he had through Paul or through Peter or through the apostles. And so those gifts were sign gifts. gifts used in the first century, and they no longer apply today. And so when you look at it today, but many of the gifts are still in operation within the church. And so he gives here the body. Paul used the human body as an analogy for the unity or harmony within the local New Testament church. And so I don't know if you know it, but when I last time I went through this text and I counted up, the body is referred to some 18 times in this text. That's a lot. I mean, anytime it says that in the scripture, that's a lot. And so the Corinthians, they were misusing spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gifts is one of the many reflections of their fleshly worldliness and was closely related to their divisiveness, in which Paul now continues to reprove them on. And so when you look at it here in scripture, Paul illustrates the diversity of gifts. Again, back to the message, unified, diversified, and interdependent. And so Paul illustrates these spiritual gifts and then repeatedly stresses that they have one source. All the gifts we have in the church have one source. They all come from the Holy Spirit of God, and they're given to the many members within the body. And thank God, because we all need each other to use our gifts within the members to make the body function like the body is supposed to function. So Paul also stresses they have one purpose in the gifts, and that is to reveal the Holy Spirit's work and power for the common good of the church at whole, at large. And so when you think about it in this passage, Paul here explains and illustrates the nature and the importance of the unity within the church itself, and then again the importance of the diversity as a key factor in that unity. I think it's really so cool and such a blessing to be able to shake hands with people as they come in or go out of a church facility. And it's really one of the things that really strikes me interesting is that as you're shaking hands and people are leaving the Lord's Day and leaving, is what diversity you can have within a membership, within a body. And that's by God's design and God's plan, and it's good to have that diversity. And so in this passage here, Paul is illustrating that diversity. The diversity of the church is a God-ordained means of bringing the fellowship into oneness. But unless each diverse member recognizes and accepts his part of the body, then diversity will divide rather than unite, destroy rather than build up, bring discord rather than harmony, and the result in it becomes self-serving rather than self-giving. It needs to be self-giving. And so I think diversity is a very good thing. You got to have diversity within a congregation, within a body. And Paul and the Bible teaches that here. And Paul was teaching that to the Corinthian church. So with these three thoughts in mind, let's look at the first part of this in verse 12, the unification in one body. In verse 12, you go back and really where he begins, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." We are one body. We have many members, and we have much diversity, but we are one body in Christ. So Paul uses the human body to illustrate the unity in an interrelationship of the members of Christ's body, the church. So the human body, you know, is by far, it's the most amazing organic creation that God has ever made. And marvelously complex and yet unified, unparalleled harmony and yet interrelatedness. And it is a unit. And you cannot subdivide the body into several bodies. The part that is cut off ceases to function and it dies. And so the rest of the body loses some of its functions and loses some then of its effectiveness. And so Christ's body, if I took my arm and cut my arm off, my arm would die, the body would stay as whole. If I took my leg, cut from my knee down, and cut that part of my leg off, that part would die off, and the rest of the body still would remain whole. So is the parallel when you think of the church, Christ in one body. Many Christians and organizations, denomination, agency, clubs, whatever, groups of every sort, but there is still only one body in Christ. We are a part of Christ's body in verse 12, one body. Some are Jews, some are Gentile and free, but the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. You know what's going to be interesting? It's going to be fun, I think. When I left Haiti and was coming back here, I was talking to some of the national pastors in Haiti and a couple of them there, and I told them, I said, you know what would really be neat? I said, our church is going to host a national semiannual meeting in the fall of 2018. I said, what would really be good is, and I talked to Jacques down there, I said, is for a couple of you national pastors to come up here from Port-au-Prince and be a part of this meeting. And so Jacques said, I think that would be a great idea. So I'm looking forward to that when we host that meeting, is for a couple of the men that are pastoring, they're national pastors there in Port-au-Prince,
They are pastoring churches that Jock Alexander started and won people to Christ, and they're now pastoring. One church runs about 125, another church runs about 100 in another location, and these are young men that are pastoring these churches, and to realize that in Christ we are yet one body, many members, very diversified within the body. Now, what's interesting, when I was in Port-au-Prince down there in Haiti in the song service, I could not understand the words of all the music. And now their music service ran usually, now the schedule in Haiti, their first service every day that week started at 5 a.m. in the morning, went to 7, it was a two-hour service. They then took a break at 7, come back at 9, and then they ran a three-hour service from 9 to noon, and then in the afternoon, the choirs and the music and special music and all the music people practice in the afternoon, and then they started back at 5 in the evening and went till 8 o'clock at night. That was the schedule every day. Church service started, the morning worship service, there was one, and it started at 7 a.m. And when they told me that, I said, because I had a driver that would come and pick me up and drop me off. His name was David. I said, so what time's church in the morning? He said, 7 o'clock. I said, you're going to be at the motel at 7 a.m.? He said, yes. So be ready about 10 to 7. I'll pick you up at 10 to 7. So the other guy that was there from down in Texas, he said, whoa, so you know, usually you don't have five-hour church services. But that's what it was that morning, a five-hour church service of worship. So when you look at that, as they sang, and all their music was in Creole, and that, which is really, their Bibles were in French, and I sit there, and I tell you what, you can just feel the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because it was one body. I realized these are my brothers and sisters in Christ that I'm going to spend eternity with and heaven with and forever. And there was a warmness and a real bond of love between those people down there. And I realized, you know what? I can't understand them and they can't understand me. And everything is through an interpreter. And yet we are one body and unified in one in Christ. And so when you think about it here, Paul went on to say in verse 13 that we are baptized by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Look at it in verse 13. This is Holy Spirit baptism. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we are baptized into Christ. And the Holy Spirit baptized. So the same Holy Spirit that's working on a person in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, is the same Holy Spirit that's working on me here or working on you here. And so we are all one in Christ, baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. The forming of the body, the church is formed as believers are baptized by Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. This teaches Spirit baptism, which is different. This is not teaching water baptism here. It's teaching Spirit baptism by the Holy Spirit. As our Savior in Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, water baptism is outward, a physical ordinance believers submit to in obedience to Christ's command. Water baptism plays, as we know, no part in our salvation. But Spirit baptism is entirely the work of God and is synonymous at salvation. I didn't even know it, but when I got saved, I got baptized into the body of Christ. It was already taking place, and I didn't even know it was taking place when I got saved. I don't know about you. The day you got saved when you came to Christ, you mentioned this morning you got saved at 12. I got saved at 16. I didn't know anything about Holy Spirit baptism at that time. But when you get saved, and we are saved and regenerated by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit then baptizes us by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Holy Spirit baptism. And so Paul's central point here in verse 13 is that the Spirit baptism with the one Spirit makes the church one body. It's the Holy Spirit that unifies us. It's the Holy Spirit that puts us all together and keeps us together as one body. One Spirit baptism establishes one church, one body in Christ. Notice then the filling of the body. When we're born of the Lord again, the Lord places us into His body and the Holy Spirit in us. And the Bible says we're made all to drink of that one Spirit, like being baptized with the Spirit, being indwelt by the Spirit is virtually synonymous with conversion. Now let's take a look at this word diversified in verse 14. You talk about diversification here. There's quite a bit of diversification. The way Paul puts it to the church at Corinth, and he says, there's still one body. Keep that in mind. But in verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? Boy, have you ever seen, noticed in church work and in the Lord's house and in, within congregations that, you know, you really have to understand this concept, understand to accept people of all walks of life, of all backgrounds, of all things. And just because maybe you're excited about this part of the body and the work of the Lord doesn't mean that everybody else is all, you know, we all have different viewpoints and interests and abilities and talents and things that we come bring to the Lord's work. And so the most important characteristic of the body is unity. Did you ever have your body try to work when it's not in unity or harmony together? It just doesn't work. But diversity is essential to that unity. The church is one body but many members. So here the Corinthian church was divided where it should have been unified. And it tried to be uniform where it should have been diverse. And it was divided over leadership. It was divided over some followed Paul, some followed Apollos, some followed Peter, when it should have been we all, in unification, should follow Christ and keep our eyes focused on Christ, no matter where you're at in the body, and no matter where you serve at within the body, whether it be the foot, whether it be the eye, whether it be the hand, no matter what you do and where you go, if you work in the music, if you work in Sunday school, if you are a greeter, if you're doing this or doing that, whatever it is that you do, we follow Christ. We keep our eyes upon Him, and unification should be through the body of Christ. And so when you look at it here, the Corinthian church, though, it was divided. And it got off track a little bit. And the members tried to be alike in all having the same spiritual gifts. Especially the showy ones, like tongues in the first century, and instead of being diverse. And so with that, we find members tried to be alike and having all that the same spiritual gifts. Many Corinthians believers were unhappy with their gifts. Unhappy with God. Why would you bestow that gift upon that person and this upon this person? I think we should look at it and be happy with who we are and how God created us and the gifts that He has endowed unto us and the gifts that have been given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. So it's God's choice to do that. And so envy is a sure sign of carnality. And everyone wanted a gift that somebody else had many times. And so many of the Corinthian believers were unhappy with that. And so selfishness is never satisfied, and envy is never content. And so people often do that today. If I cannot have it my way, then I'm not going to participate. And yet God says there's a more important picture here for all of us to see. We have no right to remove ourselves from our God-given responsibilities just because we're dissatisfied with what we are or what we have. And so when you look at it here in the Scripture, Paul reminds us that a body could not function if it were all the same part of that body. So as a fellowship of believers, we can operate more effectively with members performing different ministries within the body. And that's why Paul said, if the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, then where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Verse 18, I think, is a key that unlocks that. It is God that gives the gifts within the body and then places you within the body and then according as it hath pleased Him. We're here to serve Him and to keep our eyes focused upon Him. Gifted by one Lord. And verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? So these Corinthian believers here question God's wisdom and goodness by implying that, God, I think you have made a mistake. Oh, really? Or discontentment with their spiritual gifts. They opened themselves up to a fleshly or even demoniac counterfeits, and so they had a spiritual problem. They did not see the sovereignty of God rightly in verse 18. And notice at the end of verse 18, as it hath pleased Him. So God is in control of that. Questioning our spiritual gifts is questioning God, and not using our spiritual gifts then becomes disobeying God, if you really think about it. God has created us and then placed each of us in the body exactly where He wants us to be, equipped to do exactly what He wants us all to do. But because these Corinthians were discontent and disobedient, they therefore became unproductive. You notice churches oftentimes fall back on organization because the organism is not functioning right. Because the hand is not doing its job, a foot is called on to do that work and so on. How many times you see that in church work? And you see, because the whole body won't engage, therefore there becomes a lack or a need. So somebody, because they have compassion or a heart of love, say, well, that's not really what I want to do. That's not really my passion, but I'll go over here and I'll do that because nobody will fill that. Nobody will do that. We should all step up, find whatever it is our gift. And so churches oftentimes fall back on organization because the organism is not functioning right. By that meaning, if you think about it, because the hand is not doing the job, the foot is called on to do that work, and so on. And so if much of the congregation is inactive, the active members must do the work for which oftentimes they may be not equipped to do. If you think about that, what's the old rule, the old saying that what is about 20% do about 80% of that? If you think about that within a congregation, what if everybody in the congregation within the body, what if the eye did its job? What if the foot did its job? What if the hand did its job? What if everybody just did one thing? Think about that, just one thing. Not many things, just one thing. How productive that a local church and a body can be. And so the only way for the church to function properly is by using what the Holy Spirit gives through the Holy Spirit's power, it should be, and just as he desired. Paul, in verse 17, expounds on this. A body that only had one part would not be a body. We're not perfect, we know that, but his gifts to us are perfect. And the ministry in which God has called us to use them is perfect. And his design for the church is perfect, and his gifting to the church is equally as perfect. So when you look here at verse 20 to verse 31, that's where you see here this interdependence. And beginning in verse 21, or verse 20 down to verse 31 at the end of the chapter, the theme here is really on a oneness in the body of Christ. Mutual dependence on each other. Mutual dependence on the brother and sister that sits beside you or serves beside you, that we all need each other. Rugged individualism has been a long hallmark of Americanism. It appeals to the natural man, kind of do your own thing or do it alone, or we can be self-sufficient, or I can do that, I don't need anybody's help, and I can do this on my. That is really a philosophy that comes directly from Satan. If you think about it, and it's the opposite of God's plan and God's will for men. We should not go it alone. We need each other in the cause of Christ, and we should not depend upon our self-sufficiency, but upon God's that has enabled us and gifted the church and the body to do what he's called us to do. So many times some will take the attitude, I'm the captain of my own fate, the master of my own soul. That's really an expression from the heart of a fallen man and a desire really to be our own God. And so by that, John Wesley said, there is no such thing as solitary Christianity. Paul deals with the two primary reasons some Christians will never become involved in the Lord's work. Some feel that, some feel they have no gifts. Or some feel they have no abilities that are worthwhile, so they sit back and let others do the work. These are described over in 1 Corinthians 12 here, verse 15, 16, and 17. The second thing is, then others feel they're so highly qualified that they do not really need the help of others to perform their ministry. They're described in verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head of the feet, I have no need of you. No, we all need each other. And so the individualism of supposed inferiority, nor the individualism of proud independence, is biblical or pleasing to the Lord. And so believers, if you think about it here in verse 21 to verse 27, believers need to have proper relationships. Some will say, the church, they don't need me. There's many people down there. I'm just one person. They don't need me. Yes, they do. Or some will say, well, I don't need them. Some will look at it and say, well, I don't need the church. I don't need the body. I don't need to engage. No, yes, they do. If you really think about what God is teaching here in the Bible, some in verse 22, notice he says here in verse 22, the feeble even are necessary. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So even those within the body that are feeble, they are necessary. Verse 23, those who you think might be less honorable, we should bestow abundant honor, or uncomely parts, or have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, I love this word in verse 24. I learned a little bit about this word temper. Notice that it says in verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. It is God who tempers. It's interesting. I had a chance when I was in college to work at a steel mill, and it was interesting to watch the tempering process of how you temper steel and how you make it hard and how you make it durable. It is God that tempers this. And so when you think about it here, it's God that tempers the body together, giving honor to those who lacked. And so verse 25 here, why? Is because in verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And so when you're thinking about it here, all members should have that same care one for each other throughout the entire body. When one suffers, we should all suffer. If somebody's hurting within the congregation, within the body, we should all hurt within the congregation, within the body. We need to be tuned in to all that, and we all suffer. If one member is honored, we all rejoice. In verse 27, you are a part of the body of Christ, members in particular. Notice in verse 28, 29, and 30 here that God's perfect provision, God equips the church. And he does so through here, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, and these different gifts are all apostles. Paul again reminds these Corinthians of God's sovereignty and perfect provision in equipping the church, making unification and yet diversified. He appoints all these positions within the church. And he appoints these, the apostles. And the apostles and the prophets mentioned here were to do three things. They were to lay the foundation of the church. They were to receive and declare the revelation of God's word, which they did. We have a full, final revelation of God's word. They were then to give confirmation of that word through the signs and wonders and miracles. The teachers then were referring to the pastors, teachers, whatever, were given gifts. And then the temporary sign gifts of miracles and healings here are discussed back up in verse 9 and verse 10. That we mentioned earlier at the beginning of the service. So, is a gift for service of helping and supporting the day-to-day ministry within the early church. They have administrations of government and the gift of leadership, diversity of tongues, used to preach the gospel with an interpreter. And that. So, matter of fact, if you always think about tongues and the gift of tongues, tongues was always used for the preaching of the gospel, proclamation of the gospel, so the lost could hear the gospel in their own language and be saved, but it always required an interpreter to interpret what they were saying. It was not what you see in 20th or 21st century Christianity of what the tongues movement is today. That is not Bible tongues and what the Bible teaches about tongues in the New Testament. So what is our response here to be? In verse 31, Paul wraps this up very, very interestingly. He says, covet. Covet earnestly the best gifts. These, you know what the Corinthians? The Corinthians were to stop seeking gifts because to do so is both presumptuous and purposeless, but every believer already is perfectly gifted in the way that God planned and which is best suits the ministry for you. Individual, each one of us within the body. And so what they needed to see here, these Corinthians, that there is a more excellent way, the way of contentment, the way of harmony that Paul was exhorting to here and all the way through this great chapter. And the way was that he then goes on and wraps it all up and is in chapter 13, which was love. These things did not have, but desperately needed. You know what they lacked in verse 12? Chapter 12, Paul gives them over in chapter 13. By that, look in chapter 13. We don't have time to take chapter 13 tonight, but this is what he follows this up with, is he said in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, that's love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So as he goes down through this great chapter in chapter 13, he ties everything together in chapter 12 around the idea of love within the body and the gifts and the members within the body. We need to help each other within the body, find your gift, your place of service, where you fit and what you do. And again, if you go back to, if everybody found one thing to do, just engage in the Lord's work. And so I go back to what we talked about earlier, and when Paul addresses the church here, he talks about being unified or being in harmony, being in oneness, and the greatness of the local church and the body of Christ if you can get that harmony and that accord and that oneness together. And you know, I see in all levels of Christianity the challenge of trying to keep that oneness and that harmony. And I see it at all levels. I see it on the college level. I see it when you get a national meeting of pastors together and missionaries of the importance of having harmony and unity. And that and the same thing to find, you know, if they just have a servant's heart and will follow the Lord, and that yet there's much diversity in that. and the fact that we interdependently need each other in the body and in the work of Christ. I got a book in my library. It's written by Dr. Earl K. Odom, and he talks about in that an independent fundamental Christianity over the years has been much fragmentation. And it was always frustrating to him as a president of a college and a seminary and a local church, and that is to see within the body of Christ how that from time to time there would be a fragmentation, and yet through that God would allow things to prosper and bless and multiply and grow and use and that. But I think it's always been a thing down through all the way, if you take your Christianity and trace it all the way back to the Corinthian church, take it all the way back to the very early roots of Christianity, there has always been fragmentation within the body of Christ. And that's why I think it's important when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to understand what Paul was teaching and the importance of the Holy Spirit placing each individual within the body of Christ and the importance of that unity and that harmony for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you tonight, find where you fit. If, you know, some are feet and some are ears and some are hands and some are whatever that means, and you translate that to the work of the Lord, and that it's an amazing thing to be able to see when you have that unity and that harmony and that pulling together and the harmony through the gospel. The Corinthian church, they had some issues and problems, and Paul was trying to deal with that right here in chapter 12, and to be able to see here that the importance of being unified and yet still being diversified, and then yet still being interdependent. I was sitting in my office here the other day before I went to go to that meeting, and there's a man that comes and he sits right over here. He owns a restaurant over in Livonia, and he and I was talking in the office the other day, and he was saying he's been in Christianity now a while. His name is Alex, and Alex was saying to me, he says, you know, the thing that just gets me so excited and gets me fired up is when I can see somebody else come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, man, I'll tell you what, that is an exciting thing in Christianity to be able to see is when somebody else gets saved. I don't know about you, but that is, I think, one of the most exciting, important things is when you see another lost soul, a friend, a family member, a neighbor, whoever it is, come and become a part of the Holy Spirit, placing them into the body of Christ, baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, and then seeing where they begin to fit in the Lord's work and how God would use them in the body of Christ. And so unification, unity, and yet diversity, and yet an interdependence on each other. You know, it's really, when you think about it, our church has no ecclesiastical organization out there that governs over the local church. The local church body here, we have within the local church, you have pastor and deacons and leaders and teachers and workers and everything here, but there's no outside source that becomes ecclesiastically superior to oversight of the local New Testament assembly. What is really interesting and neat to be able to see as you go around the country in different parts is to see sister churches like ours that in fellowship in the body of Christ that you relate to and say, you know what, we're going to spend eternity in heaven with these dear folks. There's folks doing the same thing that we're doing. They're just doing that in another city, another place, another location, another country, another nation. And we are all placed into the body of Christ, baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, placed specifically by name and by person, exactly what God wants us to do. We just got to recognize what it is to do and then do it. It's an amazing thing. Find what it is and then engage. You say, well, how do you know? I don't know there's a magic formula to that. I think it's a peace in your heart. You'll feel comfortable with that. I always kind of equate it to, did you ever try to drive a square peg in a round hole? Doesn't fit. And so when you think about that, find what it is that fits and what works, and the Holy Spirit will give you peace and give you comfort, give you direction, and will bless and will have His hand upon the direction that He wants to go in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love You tonight. Thank You for 1 Corinthians 12. And what a great chapter here. It talks about unity, yet it talks about diversification, and yet it talks about how interdependent that we all are on each other and that we need each other. And yet we need the diversity that comes within a body of congregation of believers. And God, we thank You for that. And we pray for that and unity and harmony and accord of going forward. And God, it's just like you've illustrated for us here in the Bible. The ear and the hand and the foot and all the body parts of the body, and illustrating to us the importance of how we need each other in the body of Christ. And so God, may we find that which you've called us to do. May we engage in that and serve you. And God, thank you for the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit of placing us within the body to serve you. And God, it's all about you. May we keep our eyes focused upon you as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.